since the Shoah, since the Holocaust, American Jews have been living in this bubble that America is a land of flowing milk and honey, and America is the world of opportunities, and it's the safest place. And even if I live in Eretz Yisrael, I must have an American passport, because if chas v'shalom Eretz Yisrael is going to get bombed, then I have where to run to. And in within a month or two, as somebody said, 7 years ago, by the World Trade Center, when they came down, you told an American goy on the street that in 40 years' time, America's going to have a Muslim president that have told you you're off your mind. And it only took 7 years for somebody to become president of America and to become the most powerful man in the world, that if he was looking for a job by the CIA, and they took a look at his resume of who he has kesher with, who his contacts is, and who he's spoken to, and which kind of meeting he's been by, he wouldn't get to stage one in becoming, joining the CIA, because he's had too much contacts with terrorists. And in 1993, he was too involved with the head of the Patach, which was Arafat's organization in America of raising money, and he spoke there pro-Palestinian. And if he would have been offered a job, looking for a job in CIA, they wouldn't have taken him, because he's pro-terrorism. And yet he became the president of the United States. And if you ask any Jew on the street today, they're basically depressed, because he's going to make it into a socialist country. In fact, in Pennsylvania, if anybody was listening to the news, they will tell you that the Black Panthers, there's a new organization called the New Black Panthers, and they went around to all where they were voting. They stood outside these 6'6" Schwarzers, 300 pounders, and they wouldn't let whites come and vote in Pennsylvania. Of course, they called the police, and they went away, but there was a lot of whites that didn't get to vote because the Black Panthers were standing there not letting the whites in. You would say that would be a third world country. You'd say that perhaps happened in Jerusalem or in Tel Aviv, the Nazis, the police. But in a modern country like America, such a thing could never happen. And it's happening. And there's a lot of Jews walking around saying, I don't know about American passports, but perhaps it's time to move on. Perhaps America is not the world of flowing milk and honey. And it came at a time where businesses are basically, there's nobody that hasn't been hit. Nobody. Right across America, there's nobody. Sayyidin, Saygoyim, businesses, moisters, wherever you go, no money. From the biggest and the strongest and the most powerful Jews and the frumest, everyone has been hit left, right, and center. And on top of that, anybody making over $250,000 in the next few years, which is basically, should we say, a good portion of from a Yidden, and it doesn't make you rich if you have a normal Yiddish family, is going to be taxed to the tilt, because we've got to share our money right across America, because that's the Schwarzer lingo, you know. Give from the rich to the poor. And this is what he's going to do. And when the Senate and the other place, the House of whatever you call it, is taken over by rogue democratic leftists, who all his advisors, besides his vice president, are Seine Yisrael, or all Seine Yisrael, who are taken from, nochals, from Jimmy Carter's Yoyatzim, is what's America going to look like? This is like, somebody said to me, this is like 1930 in Germany, where the German Jews thought that Yerushalayim of the world is Germany. And nothing's going to happen in Germany. And nobody believed that it can ever happen. And nobody, if you'd have told somebody in 1933 when Hitler was getting up there and speaking exactly the same way as Obama spoke, if you want to take a look at how Hitler spoke, how he got the whole Tzibur to get to bring 100,000 people and to get them all mislaiv in the same way as he did it. If anybody has watched Obama speak, it's the same nusach. And nobody believed. They say it's a passing stage. It's not going to happen. Nobody believed in 1940 that 6 million Jews are going to, that the biggest Holocaust ever happened to the Yiddish, and it can happen today in America. And whoever doesn't believe it is starting to believe it. And the Rebbeinu Shlom is sending us a message. And yet there's a lot of people that will turn around and say, Chosku alai divreichem Oma Hashem. This is a pasuk in Malachi. The Rebbeinu Shlom is telling Klal Yisrael, V'amartem, mani dabru alecho. What did we do wrong? What did we say against the Rebbeinu Shlom? That the Rebbeinu Shlom is coming out and sending us such oinshim, and sending us such messages right across. Amartem, says Rebbeinu Shlom, Shov avoid elekim. It's a waste of time to be an Ovid Hashem. Uma betza. What are we going to gain? Kishomano mishmartoi. That we watch, that we listen to his mitzvahs. What gain are we going to have? V'chalachnu kadroinis b'nei Hashem tzvokis. And the Alter von Slabotka asks Akasha, is this what Klal Yisrael answered the Rebbeinu Shlom when the Rebbeinu Shlom tells them that you're not listening to what I'm saying? You're saying it's a waste of time to be an Ovid Hashem? There's more important things in life. There's the real life out there of making money. There's the real life out there of enjoying yourself. And the Rebbeinu Shlom says, and the Klal Yisrael say, V'amartem, and we say to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael say to the Rebbeinu Shlom, Mani dabru alecho. What do we say against you? And yet the Rebbeinu Shlom says, this is what you said. And Klal Yisrael say, no, it's not what we said. What's going on over here? And the Klal Yisrael are arguing with the Rebbeinu Shlom when the Rebbeinu Shlom says, B'shem the Novi, this is what you're saying, this is what you're doing. And the Alter von Slabotsky says, Amodiki Yisoid, you're right. Klal Yisrael didn't answer the Rebbeinu Shlom back. They didn't answer the Rebbeinu Shlom back. And when the Rebbeinu Shlom says, V'matem mani dabro alecho, he meant something else. We're talking about frumah Jews. We're talking about frumah Jews who were doing Torah mitzvahs. But where were their priorities? From the way they did mitzvahs, from the way they learnt, from the way they were machshiv Torah, or they were machshiv mitzvahs, what was more important to them is that they're telling the Rebbeinu Shlom a message. Shov lochem avoda hilakim. It's a waste of time to serve the Rebbeinu Shlom. Umabetza kishomano mishmartoi. And what a waste to put on, to keep mitzvahs. In the way we behave, in the messages that we send with our Avodas Hashem, we tell the Rebbeinu Shlom exactly what we're thinking. And we can be Shema Torah mitzvahs. We can be sitting and learning a first Seder l'mashal. And we came to Yeshiva, for good Jews. And we actually came into davening for half an hour. I left a bit early, I spoke with my tefillin on, okay. And I'm sitting there by Chazal Hashatz playing with my cell phone. What am I telling the Rebbeinu Shalom? Shav loche avoid elekim. It's a waste of time. I've got more important things than serving the Rebbeinu Shalom. Uma betza, what gain do I have? Ki shomru mishmalta, that I'm keeping your mitzvahs. Big deal. Okay, I have to be Jewish. Okay, I'll come bal kocho to davening. When I'm sitting a seder and I get a text message, and I have to run out while I'm sitting with the Rebbe, you're telling the Rebbeinu Shlom a message that Torah is not important. You're telling the Rebbeinu Shlom a message, what's be'ikah by me and what's tofel by me? What's the main thing? Where my priorities lie? That's what Chazal means. That's what the Navi says. Amartem, through your actions, shav avod alekim. It's a waste of time serving the Rebbeinu Shlom. Umabetza, what do I gain? What's the big deal if I miss as man Krishma? What's the big deal? So what did he say Krishma today? I Chazal say Mu'uvishla Yuchal Asakin, it's impossible to be Masakin such a thing. And this is, you've got to be Makabal El Malchus Shamayim every day. Mabetza, what do I gain from it? What am I going to have from it? Yeah, for a job. If you give me a job in Azmanim, I'll be up at 6 o'clock in the morning. For $10-$12 an hour like every other Schwarzer, no problem. Says the Rebbeinu Shlom, you want to work like a Schwarzer? I'll give you a president as a Schwarzer. Ma betza ki shomarnu. What gain do I have by keeping the mitzvahs? What do you give me? What am I going to have from it? Nothing. You didn't say it. You don't even think about it. But from your action, you're showing the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is what I am. This is who I am. And that, says Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm going to send you a message to remind you that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam that runs the world. And every time he's going to stick a knife deeper and deeper, slowly, which goes against anything that Seichel tells you. There's nobody in the world today who has a right mind 7 years ago would have told you that a Muslim, pro-Arab, pro-Palestinian, so left that there's never been such a leftist, socialist, is going to become president in 7 years of the Twin Towers falling. And yet the Ribbono Shel Olam did it. He's trying to get everybody nervous. There's going to be a third world war. Who knows what's going to be with Iran? And at the same time, he's clearing out all the Jewish money. All the Jewish money he's cleaning out. People who are worth hundreds of millions of dollars overnight. Gone. And even if I am left with buildings, they're worth nothing. What is he telling us? Shav lochem ma betza. When you say Torah and mitzvahs is not worth it, when I have more important things to do, says Ribbono Shel Olam, no problem. I'll send you a message. I'll send you my Hitler. And he'll tell you how to come back to me. If next week there's going to be a Yom Tefillah for the American Jews in Yerushalayim, the Gedolei Yisrael, like Rabban Leibon and Rabbi Yashiv, have made that there's a Yom Tefillah next week to daven for the American and the English Jews who don't have, who have lost all their fortunes, and there's no money for Moshe HaTorah. Isn't the Ribbono Shel Olam sending us a message? And on the same point, I want to point out a small nekuda which might help the Olam to stop the Zman off on the right foot and perhaps give a shtickle chizuk for the Zman. There's a Mishnah that says, Hamafsik mi mishnosi, if somebody's in the middle of learning, v'oime manoe ilon zu, you're in the middle of that, in the middle of learning, and you look out the window and you see a beautiful tree and you say, ah, manoe ilon zu, how beautiful this tree is, the Ribbono Shel Olam is gewaldig. Harizem is chay benafshi, you are chay of misa. And the Rishonim and Achronim, they all ask, you're saying shvach on the Ribbono Shel Olam. What's so terrible about it? Is chay benafshi, you chay of misa? What's the mischayev benafshi? There's a meridiki yisoid. Chaim Shulevitz brings down this mashal. If you want to boil an egg, the Rapport brings it down a lot of times. If you want to boil an egg, if you boil it for an hour, and every 3 minutes you put off the fire, you will not have a boiled egg after an hour, even though it's been on the fire, basically, for 45 minutes. It just won't boil. But if you put it on the fire for 10 minutes, it will boil. The same thing is in learning. When a person learns, I'm not even getting into the amount of time he learns. If you have a half an hour chavrusa with a Rebbe, or an hour chavrusa with a Rebbe, a half an hour chavrusa with a Bocha, and every 5 or 7 minutes you're basically unfocused and you have a shmooze, or you have to go out, or you have to have a cigarette, or you have to, suddenly you got a phone call, Torah will never have an effect. Nasa Torosa kroim kroim. Your Torah becomes torn, it becomes pieces. It's like a beged, it's patched, it's a patched beged. Torah doesn't have an effect on you. It doesn't have the kedushas of Torah, and it doesn't have the skula of Torah keeping you away from Averis. Torah has a meridika skula in it. The kedushas of Torah, after a certain amount of time, turns around the person, has an effect on a person. It makes him more edel, it changes his midas. He becomes a better person just from the Koyach HaTorah. when it doesn't happen, it's not because of the averas that are being done. It's because the Torah is not having its right effect. Meisir oznoi milishmoya Torah, also says the Pasuk in Mishlei. If you move away your ear from hearing Torah, gam tfilosa te'eva, your tefillah is also an abomination. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, doesn't mean we're not talking about where you a guy who's sitting and learning day and night. We're talking about where a guy has his half an hour Seder, or his hour Seder, where he's supposed to be totally focused in the learning. Meisir oznoi, he turns away his ear. I suddenly got a text message, I'm going to run out. There's something funny going on the other side of the Beis HaMikdash. Gam tfilosa te'evo. He doesn't have a koyach tfila either. His tfila by the Ribbono Shel Olam becomes abomination. You all know why? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you sent me a message when you were learning where your priorities lie. So when you daven to me and you ask me for a toiva, you ask me for a refuah shleima, you ask me for siyata dishmaya, it doesn't work. Because at the end of the day, you're not really interested. Gam tfilos te'evo. His tefillah is also a te'evo. The Chazon Ish writes in the letter, the hatzlocha of learning, of anybody learning, we're not going into how many hours a day. When he's learning, ikar limud, hu hatmidi v'albidlti nifsak. The ikar, what you're going to steig from, and where your hatzlocha is going to lie, is not in the quantity of hours, but it's in the quality of how you do it. It's tmidi, it's constant. Ubilti nifsak, don't stop in the middle. Belimud hatmidi, says the Chazon Ish. When the person learns constantly without a hefsek, soid hakedusha. That is when you get the kedusha's hatorah. He says, to learn 1 hour and to be mafsik 1 hour is kiyum hatoyu. That's how you keep kiyum, is how you hatoyu is like emptiness. Her efes for her ede, says the Chazon Ish. It's nothing. It's worth nothing. There's a hefsek. Doesn't help. Torah doesn't have the effect. Hamasik mi mishnosi. Even if you're giving shvach on the Ribbono Shel Olam, mischayev benafshe. You know why you're mischayev benafshe? Not because you're going to be chayev misa, because you're in sakona. Because you don't have the skula of learning Torah. You don't have the shmira that Torah has on you. You're telling the Ribbono Shel Olam shov lochem. You're telling the Ribbono Shel Olam to waste the time. I've got more important things. Then the Shemira goes away. You don't have the same Siyata Dishmaya. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam has to come out with outside forces to wake up the Jewish nation that there's something more important than just making money and having power. There's something more important than just this world. There's a world of Olam Haba as well. And in every Bacha in the Yeshiva, if he wants for his own steiging, we're not talking about here Hasmod of ours. We're talking about the quality of learning. If you have a Seder for half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, you want to make it, you want to have the Siyata Dishmaya of steiging, it's going to work with only one recipe, Tmidi, constant. When you learn for 5 minutes and Chafa Shmuz, make a joke, and you move on, another 5 minutes, never works, doesn't work. You don't have that Siyata Dishmaya. You don't have the koyach that Torah has that will give you the shmira that's needed. And each one of us wants a siyata dishmaya in learning. How many of us need siyata dishmaya just to read the Gemara right? Forget about understanding it. And we want to. Each one deep down wants to. And we feel losers when we sit and open the Gemara and we can't even get past the second line. Or if we're learning a Rashba already, I don't understand what he wants, I don't understand where he is. The first Tanai condition to hatzlocha in learning, or hatzlocha anywhere in Siyata Dishmaya, is tamidi. You cannot break up that seder. It's got to be a constant half an hour. If it's 20 minutes, it doesn't make a difference. Let it be 20 full minutes. The Brisker Rav used to say, to learn an hour is not a masmid, but to learn 60 minutes in 1 hour is a masmid. To say you've learned an hour is no big deal. Everybody can do an hour in front of the Gemara. Do 60 minutes in an hour, that's already a masmid. This is the first Tanai of Hatzlocha in learning, Hatzlocha in davening, Hatzlocha bichlal. Tamidi, you've got to make sure that your Torah is not cut up in pieces. And with that, you'll have Hatzlocha. I want to make